Good to see all of you. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Call it out. Die Hard? Did someone say Die Hard? Of course. Yeah, okay. There's a debate. A debate if it's a Christmas movie. There's a Christmas tree in it. No. Die Hard. What else? Muppets Christmas. Yeah, Chantel? I missed that. Sorry? Nightmare Christmas? Really? Did someone say that? That's awesome. Look, Randy, that's awesome. Anyone else? What else? Christmas movies.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Okay. Elf. Yeah. Elf. The Town Santa Forgot. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's narrated by Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke narrates it. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Thanks, Beverly. What else? Home Alone, right? Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah. Okay. Christmas. Yeah. How about Hallmark ones? Any Hallmark? Anyone like the Hallmark movies? You admit it. Admit it. You do. Yeah. Ernest Saves Christmas. Okay. All right. It's going downhill from here. I can't believe no one said the Grinch. Or did you say the Grinch? Okay, good. I just noticed along the classrooms here, there's one classroom that the doors decorated. It said Merry Grinchmas. And everyone drew, all the kids drew their different Grinches. I remember Mayal used to be able to draw a really good Grinch. And he still can. Maybe he can do that for me this year. But there's something about the Grinch movie, I don't know about you, but it's pretty endearing. I do like the Grinch, and I would say I wonder if because I identify with the Grinch in some ways. Anyone out here might identify with the Grinch at all? Yes, all right, there's about five of us that are, telling the truth. Because sometimes during Christmas or during any times of our year, in different times, let's look at the Grinch. He's up on the hill by himself with his dog that he's kind of using. And he's kind of lonely, doesn't really have any community around him. And then he's looking down on who? Get it? Yes. You got it. Down in the Whoville, right? With all the Whos. And what's going on in his heart when he's looking down there? He's got contempt. There's maybe some jealousy that's happening. And he just can't stand it. And so he tries to do everything he can to take Christmas away from them. In different ways. And obviously the Grinch is, trying to do it in the way that I'm going to take all the presents away, right? And then we have that great song and the scene of him going down, trying to be like Saint Nick, but also taking the things away and nailing the antlers on the dog's head. My goodness. And what happens then? What happens towards the end of that? He's surprised by what? He's surprised by the joy through a generous love and acceptance of a little child. And then, out of that, it's not just the generosity of the child and the joy, but it was like not just, it was the community of these Whos. The community that didn't allow him to steal their joy is what caught his attention. A community that would not allow it. But instead, they chose to sing a song of joy in the midst of terrible circumstances. So let's just sit with that for a minute and try to understand the narrative in that way. The reality of this life is that we all will experience all kinds of experiences and circumstances, and really good and joyful ones, but also some really hard things Some of us are still grieving some loved ones that have passed recently, or maybe grieving loved ones that maybe will soon, or maybe grieving in different ways with different circumstances that maybe seek to steal our joy. I was reminded last night, we as a family, it just caught me off guard. My brother and sister-in-law are out from Ontario, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but they started singing that song that, I'm not going to sing it for you, but Jeff, you want to check? No, everyone started singing. I was like, oh my goodness. And it was just this sound erupted. And I was like, are we in Whoville? And not knowing I was actually going to be speaking on this. And it was like, and it was this sound of a choice of joy, even in whatever circumstances that you have. And the beauty that we were all together as a family, and not everyone could be there, but whoever was able to be there was. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful picture. On that note, before we get to sing these songs, maybe a question here I want to ask us. What seeks to steal your joy? What might seek to steal your joy? The reality that great joy might not be experienced by all people. We're going to read a verse soon that's going to speak about great joy, for good news of great joy for all people. But sometimes joy can be stolen from us or attempted to be stolen from us. So that's the beauty of the Christian calendar, that advent of Advent. It's this longing and waiting period before Christmas. And that's the beginning of the story of the church. This is the beginning of the story that the church in its wisdom that came up with this calendar for us to be able to see the person of Jesus. Is there was a longing of people that were of people of God that were longing for God to come near, for God to act, for God to reveal himself fully to humanity in the circumstances that they would find themselves in. It's rooted in the story of the Israelites. The reminder of the story of what the name Israel means, wrestle with God, one who wrestles with God. And it's a reminder that this is the story that we're linked to. And it's brilliant wisdom for us to understand that, know that we can continue to struggle in the midst of life and struggle for joy, longing and waiting for God to appear. And so we've touched more on that. We've touched on that in the weeks earlier, but I want us to sit with a psalm that comes from ancient Israel. It's a psalm of a people that had to experience all kinds of fortunes and many misfortunes as they attempted to follow God. So why don't you read with me Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. I love that. That's right in the middle of this passage. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. In this verse, they weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. It's a reminder that in the midst of this, some of us might feel like you're planting and you're weeping right now. Just want to acknowledge that. That's part of the story of following God. And as Walter Brueggemann maps out psalms for us, especially a song of lament, where we can, and he says this, it starts off securely orientated, painfully disorientated, and then surprisingly reorientated. And that's kind of how we live our lives as well, I think, in different ways, at different times. We're not always necessarily in one space. So in a group like this, We have people that are experiencing all kinds of really good things and joyful things, and we have some people that are in the season of life that we're walking through some lament, and there's some other people that are just like maybe disorientated by what's happening as well. And there might be some that are just like reorientating themselves. And this is what I hope that the Christmas story would do for us this morning in some small way, but maybe even a big way. I want us to ponder on the nativity scene for a little bit and see how the Christmas story is able to help reorientate us a little bit. This nativity set, we have a whole bunch at our house. I don't know if we've got them all up, but we've got like the one, there's a little IKEA one that we keep. Those are really interesting, all these Swedish little guys. When the kids were little, they would like move them around all the time and play with them. I don't know, has anyone been moving around lately? But that's on our coffee table. Oh, my all has been, yes. And then we have one on our island, and I think it's missing a few things, but it's more of like, I would call it like Cabbage Patch meets like homemade artwork or something. They're like, it's like these big heads of Mary and Joseph and then sweet little baby, and then there's like a donkey that just can't stand up. It always keeps falling down. And then I think there's a shepherd. I don't know where the wise men are. They're lost, or maybe they're not lost, but they're still traveling there. And then we have another one on our windowsill where it's a beautiful little stained glass, and you can put a tea light behind it, and all it is Mary and Joseph with the baby, and really simple to look at. And there's wide variety. This is from Sharon's gran, and so she gave this to us, or maybe did she give this to us before she passed? Yeah, she made sure. One of the things that Sharon and our kids did when we went to see Gran all the time, we would come and set up her Christmas stuff in her little place, and. And then when she moved from Lyons Manor into a care home, she wanted us to have this. And so, and it says here, it's actually, she got it in Bethlehem. Really? I don't know. That's what the sticker says. So, but here you have a type of manger. And I noticed Zach was here earlier just checking it out. I don't know if you saw, he came right up here and just was looking at it. And I'm like, who's this? Who's that? Who's this? And there's carved, obviously, Jesus. There's a, you know, you can put these things anywhere, right? But there's the cow in the stable, and there's only one shepherd. I don't know. Did it only come with one shepherd? I hope so, because it's been in my office for a little bit. And two sheep, and then we have the wise men over here. As we think about this, I want you to ponder the nativity scene, and I'm going to come back to it in a moment. And one of the questions I want to ask you, though, is who's missing? Who isn't pictured in this, in here? So let's read Luke 2, 8 to 11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So let's think about this and think about the reorientation that even the message of Jesus and the nativity scene here and Jesus coming in the midst of it would reorientate us. Luke 2:10 basically talks about good news of great joy for all people. And so as you ponder this, what might be missing here? Well, I guess you could see a whole bunch of different things missing here. And I usually maybe answer these questions. I'll usually leave it alone. That's going to be a rhetorical question. I'm going to answer it for you. Is this, if you look here, in this context, there's not really anyone of religious power or religious leader or religious kind of hierarchy here with the announcement. It's really interesting. Now, you might say, hey, we have the wise men over here. There's three. There might have been 10. There might have only been 2. We're not sure. We know that there's 3 gifts, but in our nativity scene, we put 3 kings or wise men, but they're basically considered as foreigners. They're kings from the outside that came looking. And in here you have shepherds, again, who are not in the center of the the city or the hub of busyness. They're the ones on the outside. Some scholars would say that they were treated as outcasts, and that's where the announcement comes to them to come to see where this baby was born. And then the story, as the lore has it, in a sense, and where he's placed in a manger. And so when he's placed in the manger, we're probably thinking that, yeah, there's animals around. And it was just this quiet, quiet night. There wasn't something like too loud about it. But yet it screams something different. It's very quiet, yet it's screaming that God is going to do his will in his way, utterly different than we can even understand or ask or imagine. Because any of us would have dreamed this up, it wouldn't have looked like this. That the God of the universe would be in this space, in this place, in this time. It's interesting. Is there a picture of the nativity scene that I put up? I've done this a few years ago, maybe on Christmas Eve I put this up. And this is redacted. I did one redaction in here. But where were all the important people? The author is asking. Where you have foreigners, you have an animal, you got another animal, ordinary people, straw, nobody's animals, and then Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, that word, beautiful little word, means God with us. Comes to a teenager and her soon-to-be husband that are Israelites, people that are struggling and wrestling with God, that are living in a land that is occupied by the Roman government at the time. This is where God shows up. And it's beautiful. And so I want us to remind ourselves that I wonder if it's good news for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. One of the ways that we did it, if it would come top down, in a sense, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would have then came down and worked through all of the rulers of the day, then the rulers of the day would have been living in a, like, would have been working the good news or the kingdom of God in the ways that they would want to. And we would realize that that's really, it goes sideways really fast. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes as Emmanuel and seeks to work from the bottom up, not from the top down. And that is then why it's good news for all people. Because if it would start from the top and the most powerful, usually it's the most powerful and the people on the top will forget about all the little people. And they're usually doing things that are going to be maybe going to exploit the little people or the people on the outside. But God does it differently and says, no, it needs to come from the bottom up, and it needs to come from a baby with little hands that needs to be cared for, and I'm going to work my will and my way through this. And we know the story of Jesus. It's continually surprising us, not just his birth, but that the God of the universe would actually turn a manger into a cross and die on our behalf and for the humanity's behalf and for all the creation of all the redemption of creation. And what a beautiful thing. And this is how we are then to live and to learn. And so what do we take away with this? with joy. I would just say a reminder that joy usually comes in the midst of suffering. So if you're suffering right now or you're experiencing, you're in good hands, you're in good presence. That God wants to come here with, in a sense, the little people. And that might be you. 1 Thessalonians 1:16 says, "You became imitators of us and the joy of the Lord." Sorry, imitators of us and the Lord, for you welcome the message in the midst of suffering with great joy given by the Holy Spirit. Would we welcome joy in the midst of whatever you might be walking through here? And I think joy comes in a couple different ways. It surprises us. Like, if I go back to the Grinch story, there's a surprise that's happening. What's happening? Why are these people living differently? It's not just about stuff. There's something inside. And so there's that. But then at some point, the Grinch had to make a choice then to then accept this joy that was that he couldn't understand, that was surprised by this child. And he had to make a choice then to then live in such a way that he would be involved in this community of joy for himself. And so I wonder if there's the surprises of joy. I talked about last year about just being present. It's interesting. I was thinking about that last year. I don't really remember a lot of my sermons, but my sermon on joy, I don't know if you remember, but I talked about walking in the trees, and we just found out, and I was worried about trees are going to fall out, and that's the time where someone passed away down in White Rock because a tree fell on them. Like, what? And now with my heart attack, I'm finding myself just trying to take in and going, huh, life doesn't, might not last that long. So how do I take in and be present right now in where I'm at? And can I see little pinholes of joy in my life? And that's coming in so many different ways. So there is a choice that you have to make to be able to see it. And yet you usually were a bit surprised. And grace is kind of like that, right? Grace can overwhelm you and you're surprised by it. But sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed anyone that maybe has received a gift, they'll be like, yeah, and then they just go on their way instead of just like, thank you. Whoa. And the gift that they receive then, their attitude then moves on to be able to bring that joy to someone else or that gift to someone else. And so there's an action and an attitude in the midst of being surprised by it. So I wonder if some of us, I'm reminded of this phrase. Sharon mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, yeah. There's times that we simply need to face the darkness faithfully, and the phrase comes out of a Bruce Coburn song. Says we need to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. And I think that's kind of what the Israelites did with the lament. And they're asking, show up, God, where are you? I want you here. What? Reveal your faithfulness to us, and you're kicking at the darkness until it bleeds daylight, and then maybe, just maybe, we're able to. It's nothing because of what you're doing, but you're doing it because you're wanting to reveal the faithfulness of a God who's going to be Emmanuel in the midst of your suffering. So to both and. It's an action that we need to work towards, choosing joy, but there's also then a surprise of the goodness of God in the midst of that. And this is why, as we experience the joy in life, we want to work hard at, like I said, kicking at the darkness till it bleeds daylight, but to be able to have eyes to see it. And hopefully we'll see the kind of joy that's with us in the midst of suffering. The joy that's present in the midst of the hard things in life. The joy that's actually willing to stoop down into our circumstances, as Jesus has done, to be God in the flesh, Emmanuel. This is why the story of Jesus is incredible good news, because it's for all people, and it starts with those on the edges, on the peripheral. The message is first announced to people who are waiting for a God who they wanted to show up in their circumstances, in their situation, to surprise them. And so we wait for the same to happen in our own lives. I'm going to read Psalm 126 again for us. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go out to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. I'm hoping that at some point you might be surprised and hear some singing of the Who's in your life because of the joy that God has brought to you in the midst of this. And I hope that we, a people, and you individually, like the Grinch, we would be surprised by the generous love and the forgiveness and the acceptance of the Christ child this season. The one who's called Emmanuel that will meet you in the ordinary places and surprise you and hopefully transform yours and mine, our hearts, to the one that is alive and beating with the love for every person. Let's pray. God, would you work in and through us? We pray the words that Paul wrote in Romans 15:13. We pray that God, the source of our hope, would fill us completely with joy and peace as we trust in him. Then may we overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, amen.